We are continuing our series today. Who is the Son? He said his name is what? Scripture says his name is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Just finished up a teaching on the Holy Spirit. Now we're going into who is the Son. The last 2 weeks we've talked about this thought. Now listen, today if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you know what he did on the cross, that is a huge thing. It's the foundation of our salvation, that we have an understanding of the cross of Jesus and what happened there. But I will tell you this, if that's all you have as a picture of Jesus, you're missing out on a fullness of relationship that he wants for you and I. You're missing out because he is so multifaceted. He is so multi-name and everything that he has for us. If we just cannot comprehend it when we just see the cross by itself. It's a huge thing. It's a grace. But this teaching that we're doing right now is really helping us understand the different sides of who Jesus is. The first week we talked about the carpenter side and that he spent a lot longer as a carpenter than he ever did his ministry. He spent 3 years in public ministry, but he spent approximately about 18 years working for his father and working the business of a carpenter. And that's good news for you and I, because that tells you and I that he can relate to us in our job. He can relate to us when it comes to pain. He can relate to us when it comes to rejection. He can relate to us when it comes to physical pain, emotional pain. He knows what it is to be frustrated. He knows what it is to work hard. He knows what it is to go through down economies and they work with difficult people. He understands these things. And so when we come to him boldly before the throne of grace, it says that he sympathizes with us. He empathizes. He relates to us because he's walked in our shoes. He understands the temptations we have. We were talking about last week that he is the good shepherd. And the sheep hear his voice. Isn't that good? We looked at the 23rd Psalm and seeing how the good shepherd leads his people besides the still waters, the peaceful still waters, the fruit of eating of the green pastures, how he sets the table before us in the middle of our enemies, that when you're at war in the spirit realm and things are going on around you, the picture that Jesus wants you to see as the good shepherd is that he's preparing a table for you to come and sit and relax and commune with him. And that he has angels, warring angels, that are walking behind us. And what are their names? Goodness and what? Mercy. He said goodness and mercy are going to follow us all the days of our life. So this is the story of the good shepherd, that the shepherd is leading us, and goodness and mercy are following us. How many know that's a pretty good trinity to have following you? Jesus is leading me as the good shepherd, and he's got goodness and mercy behind me following me. I can walk a little taller. I can walk with confidence. I can walk a little more at peace knowing that, man, God's got my back. Hallelujah, right there, the anointed. This revival about broke out. Hallelujah. Someone's cell phone just got a charge. I don't know what happened there. Anyway, let's get right into today's lesson on Jesus the teacher. Jesus the teacher. The gospel talks about Jesus the teacher. The gospel calls Jesus teacher 48 times. 48 times in the gospel, it refers to Jesus as teacher. Let me tell you this. There's one thing that Christians and atheists can agree upon. Do you know what that is? Even atheists agree upon this principle right here, that Jesus Christ was the greatest teacher that ever walked the earth. This is very much true. You study out theologians and study out great teachers, and even those who proclaim to be atheists will say this, that Jesus Christ was the greatest teacher. They may not believe he's the Messiah, but they believe he was the greatest teacher that ever lived. And this is really an important lesson for us to understand about our Savior, that he wasn't just our Savior, he was the greatest teacher that ever lived. And that he wants to teach us today, and he wants to lead us and guide us into all truth. And so today we're going to step into this and see about Jesus the great teacher. Look what it says about Jesus' teaching in Matthew 13, verse 54, talking about Jesus when he had come to his own country. He taught them in their synagogue. He went to their synagogue so that they were astonished. Look what they said. They were what? Astonished. Everybody say that. Astonished. They wasn't just impressed. They wasn't just like, yeah, that was good. No, it says they were astonished. We don't hear that word used very often, isn't it? The word astonished. He said, where did this man get this wisdom, these mighty works. Matthew 22, verse 33 says it like this. And when the multitudes heard this, they were, what? Astonished at his teaching. I mean, think about it. Jesus could get 30,000 people to follow him out in the backside of a desert to hear him teach where there was no McDonald's, no Subway, no Walmart. I mean, they're out there without any food, out there in the heat of the day, listening to every word that he taught. Why? Because he was such a great communicator. He was such a great teacher that people wanted to hear what he had to say. It's a very much important part of our teacher, of our Savior. He was a great teacher. John 7, 32. Verse 32, and we're also going to add on to this verse, verse 45 and 46, says, the Pharisees heard the crowd murmuring, and they these things concerning him. Look what it says. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then the officers came to the chief priests and the Pharisees. This is what's happening here. The Pharisees, first of all, they had the market cornered on teaching, okay? I mean, they've been teaching for years, and you had to be educated. You had to be trained in their schools, qualified to teach. And when you taught, you had to back each other up. I mean, this is really high, you know, high value thing when it comes to Pharisees teaching. And here Jesus is teaching something totally radical out here. People are flocking. They can't get anybody to go to the synagogue. And here they're following 30,000 people out there in the backside of a desert where nothing's at to hear Jesus talk. So they were obviously very upset. He was threatening the very existence of what they were teaching. And so they said, hey, let's send our officers out there to arrest him because this man is doing something radical out here. So go out there and arrest him. They sent the officers out to arrest and obtain Jesus, and they never returned. And they go back out there and like, why haven't you brought Jesus and arrested him? They're like, look what they said. We have never brought him. Why? Because no man has ever spoke like this man. I mean, you talk about something amazing. The police went to arrest him, and they can't even arrest him because his teaching is so good. This is what's happening here. I mean, he is such a great teacher, they won't even arrest him. They're like, you arrest him, man. I don't care about arresting this guy. He's great. He's teaching the truth. So what makes Jesus such a great teacher? Let's get into it. Number one, he taught with authority. He taught with authority. Matthew 7, 28 and verse 29. And so it was that when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished, there's that word again, were astonished at his teaching. For they taught, look what, he taught them as one having what? Authority. He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes did. Now, this is very important because, you see, Jesus was coming into an atmosphere of the scribes in the synagogues that was a very much boring atmosphere. It was very much a list of do's and don'ts. It was a very dull, dry, boring atmosphere. Have you ever been there before? I mean, they come in, they got the bulletin handed to them, and they all recited the sermon and the scripture together, and it was just done. Same thing week after week. It was the same dress week after week. It was the same chant week after week. Boring. Dry. See, they were used to, you realize as a rabbi, when you taught, the one rule the rabbis had that they had to back up each other. They had one rule, and that was they had to all back up each other so they could never contradict what someone else said. So they could be teaching, and someone else would teach something, and then when they taught, they'd have to come back and confirm what that person said. They couldn't say, no, I have another way of looking at this. They had to all back each other up. I mean, we're talking about boring, cookie cutter, put people to sleep, no new revelation. They couldn't correct each other. They had to conform to each other's teaching. You can buy books of commentaries that list a lot of these sermons that they read during those days. And there's just volumes and volumes of these things out there. None of them had ever made the bestseller list. I can tell you that right now. Okay, they are boring. Matter of fact, I read one commentator's commentary on this whole group of writings from these Book of Rabbis. This is what he actually wrote. Modern day commentary. He said, this was the most dry, dull, boringest collection of comments about every conceivable problem known to mankind. I mean, you talk about something that was boring and putting people to sleep. It had no relevancy to their life. And so they had no revelation. That's why they couldn't teach anything of life, because they had no revelation of who Jesus really was. And so this is what they did. God had given how many commandments? All right, there we go. In case you forgot the answer, just look at your fingers there, okay? God gave the Ten Commandments. And this is what the scribes and Pharisees did. They made up 640 rules on how to follow the Ten Commandments. Talk about get a life, man. You talk about boring. 640 rules on how to follow Ten Commandments. What are we going to teach today? I don't have anything new to you. Well, let's pick up another rule. Okay. And that's all they did. Listen, the Bible is not about a bunch of rules. It's about a relationship. And today, aren't you thankful that you don't live in a time when rules were a rule, you know? It's about relationship with Jesus Christ. Some of you here today say, Pastor, you never attended the church I grew up in. Rules still live there. Let me just tell you this, that Jesus Christ came to bring freedom. He didn't come to bring us 640 rules. He came to bring us a relationship with Jesus Christ that would set us free, enlighten us on the plan God has for our life. How could Jesus teach with such authority? He was teaching with authority. He says when he taught, he astonished people, and he taught with authority nobody else had ever known. How could he teach with an authority? Because the Word of God says that he is truth. And when you're teaching the truth, and the truth is teaching, it comes with authority. He says, everything I spoke comes from the Father. What you hear me teach, what you hear me speak, it comes from the mouth of God. He was speaking as one who had authority. He was speaking as a great teacher, but not just giving you a bunch of ideas, but he was giving you the authority and the heartbeat of God. It astonished people. They'd never heard this truth coming out of teaching before. So let me ask you this. If I announced that next week we were having a guest speaker, and his name was Jesus Christ, how many think that if Jesus was actually going to be here next week teaching and preaching that you'd want to be here? Come on, raise your hand. You say, I want to be here. Yeah. How many would camp out and say, I'll make sure I got a seat? How many would make sure people were in the house to hear Jesus speak, right? I mean, we would do everything. I mean, this place would be packed. People couldn't get in here. They'd be breaking down the walls to sit here, and you'd be the first ones. You'd be calling me up, Pastor, can I have a pass to get in free? I mean, get me in early. Let me say this to you. Tomorrow morning, Jesus Christ will be in your room. And all we got to do is open up the Word of the Lord and see exactly what the master teacher taught. This is what I'm driving at today, that he was the master teacher, teaching with authority, teaching with a new revelation, and it's right here. It's right here. It's going to be in your room tomorrow. It's going to be on your desk tomorrow. It's going to be on your coffee table tomorrow. It's going to be on your nightstand tonight. Why wouldn't I want to say, I want a relationship with the greatest teacher that ever lived? I want a relationship with truth. I want to be taught from the best. It's right here. All we got to do is read and understand what Jesus was teaching us. He's the greatest teacher. What made him the greatest teacher was that he taught with authority, a new authority, because he was truth. The second thing, he taught very practical. Don't you love this about our Savior? He was so practical in his teaching. He never taught nonsense. Have you ever heard nonsense taught before? It doesn't take long to watch some Christian TV, and you hear a lot of nonsense sometimes. Listen, there's some good things on there. I'm not down in everything, but man, sometimes I'm watching this, and I'm like, my wife is there watching me, and she's like, my veins popping out my neck. I'm like, this person's preaching some nonsense. How would anybody ever listen to him as they twist the Word of God around for their own selfish desires and trying to manipulate people? I'm like, this person's just preaching some nonsense. This is what's great about our Savior. He didn't preach nonsense. He preached life. He preached forgiveness and grace and the kingdom of God at hand. And man, what he spoke was truth. He wasn't manipulating anybody for his own pleasure. He was bringing the truth of the gospel to set people free. And he taught it in a way that was so practical that we could understand. He taught, don't worry about tomorrow because today's got enough problems of its own. Just worry about today. Just take your life one day at a time. Don't stress about the things next week. just worry, take care of today. He goes, tomorrow will take care of itself. I can understand that thought. I can understand that reasoning. He taught that if you have a problem with somebody, that you don't go on Facebook and talk about them bad for 2 weeks straight. Oh, come on now. You know what I'm saying. He said, don't go to Facebook and talk about them for 2 weeks straight. Come on, ladies. Get with me here now. Come on. I'm preaching to you today. God's going to set some of you free right now. Right? I just feel that spirit shifting. He didn't say, take care of your problems that way. How many know that never works? It never works. Jesus, here's a thought. Jesus said, if you have a problem with somebody, go to them and talk about your problem and work it out. Oh, I can understand that, and I can do that. And we do it. You know what happens? It works. He said, if that doesn't work, then take a buddy with you, and the two of you go, and you talk to them. And if that don't work, then go get some of your pastors and take them with you, and you work it out as a group. This is how we deal with conflict. Duh. I can understand that. I can relate to that. I can comprehend that. This is how it happened. See, Jesus was so practical when he taught us. He said the only way to really, truly be happy in life is when you learn to give out of who you are. What he was saying was this. He's like, if you're greedy, you'll never be happy. You can look for happiness all around the world, but you'll never be happy until you learn to serve and give of yourself, to give of your time, your treasure, your talents to the Lord, and just help people. And when you do that, you're going to find fulfillment. You're going to find that God created you to give, to be a giver. And so when you resist your greedy nature and tap into God's giving nature that he's really planted inside you, you're like, wow, I never felt so good. I mean, it's amazing. I counsel people who are going through a lot of problems in their life, and sometimes I just feel less. Hey, why don't you just go down and volunteer here? Why don't you just go down and serve here and just get your mind off your problems and start serving somebody else? And you know what happens? Every single time, it's like their attitude begins to shift. Their heart begins to change because they begin to serve and give out of themselves, and they realize, my problems aren't so bad. And you know what? It's okay. I'm going to work through this because that's just a natural way that God has designed you and I. Listen, Oprah doesn't have it all cornered. I just tell you that right now. Yeah, she started things like the Miracle Network of Giving, and let's build schools in Africa, and everybody does it, and they cry. Oh, that's awesome. That's all awesome things, but that's nothing new. It's called the Word of God. God says we're to do those things. It's amazing when we apply them to our life that it brings fulfillment. It brings joy. And Jesus taught it in the way that I could understand. He was so practical in how he taught us. He taught us that we were made and created in the image of God. We can relate to that. He says this, that you were created in the image of God. I can understand it. What I cannot comprehend is this, that nothing collided with nothing and made something. That equation doesn't work with me. I didn't come from nothing. Students, hear me out. You're going to hear this in school. They're going to teach you about, you know, evolution, about the Big Bang Theory. Let me tell you, I believe that God has a design for evolution. I believe that species evolve after they're created. I believe that species sometimes get larger or smaller, that fish breed and hybrid things come out, new species come out. I believe in that part of evolution. Trees get taller or smaller. That's just a part of God's design. But what I don't believe is this, that nothing came from nothing and made something. What I do believe is in the Big Bang Theory. You ever heard the Big Bang Theory? That God spoke it and bang, there it was. That's what I believe. I believe my God said, let there be light, and there was light. I believe he said, let the earth take shape, and it took shape. I didn't come from nothing. I was formed as a masterpiece in the image of God. That he took the mud and clay of the earth and breathed life into man. That's how I was formed. I was not formed out in outer space a million miles away out of nothing and nothing, accidentally colliding to there. Send me your emails. I'll talk to you all day long. All right. I was created. I can understand that I was created in the image of God. I can understand that. And Jesus came and said, you know what? You're created in the image of God, and you're a marred image. He says you're imperfect. You've got imperfections in your life. But I've come that through me, through what I do on the cross, you can be made whole. be made back and created back into the way that God created you, the perfect image of God. I can understand that. I can understand the cross. I can understand what happens at salvation. I can understand God's mercy for me back. He taught so way. It was so practical. You want to know how to be married? It's in here. You want to know how to run your family? It's in here. You want to know how to run your business? He told us. You want to know how to raise your children? He told us. You want to learn how to take care of your finances? He told us. You want to learn how to treat others? He told us. You want to learn how to walk in forgiveness? You don't need a 3-week seminar. Jesus told us how we can deal with it. I can read it and see. He told me. You want to learn how to truly be happy in life? Jesus told us. And if anyone tells you anything different, I can tell you what. People teach things out there. Go back and look. You probably can't. If it really was working, go back. You can find a trace right in God's word where God had originally said it. People, listen. God has given us. He's the greatest teacher ever. He's the greatest. He has taught us about the things of God in the way that we can understand. Jesus said at the end of the Sermon on the Mount that he said, he who hears these words is like a man. If he hears these words and he doesn't apply it to his life, it's like a man who builds his house on quicksand. It ain't going to last. I can picture that. Can you picture that? I can picture a house on quicksand going, shh. How many this week saw that picture of the sinkhole outside Simon's house this week? You might see that picture. Big picture on the internet. You can Google it when you get home. Not doing church, Brian. Google it when you get home. Sinkhole outside the house. And there's this giant sinkhole about the size of our auditorium, about 5 yards out someone's backyard. I mean, that house, they condemned the house, and people are worried the whole house is just going to go falling off the side of the mountain. That's what Jesus said. The person who builds his house by listening to God's word, hearing the teachings, and doesn't apply it to his life, it's like building your house on a sinkhole. He said the person who reads God's word, who hears God's words, and applies it to his life, is like the person who builds his house on a what? A solid, strong foundation. I can picture that. I can see that. I can understand that. Isn't that amazing? That Jesus taught the gospel in a way that we could understand. Let me tell you this. The Bible is not complicated. Sometimes we're afraid of the Bible. I don't understand. Listen, the Bible's not complicated. It's really not. It's really not complicated. He taught it in a way that we could understand. Listen, if you go to a church and you don't understand what's going on, you don't understand the teaching, that's not of God. God wants you to understand the gospel. He's never called any pastor to confuse you. He's called us to teach you. And when I teach you, I can confuse you. Can't I, Chuck? I can confuse him, Chuck. If I want to confuse you, I can confuse you, but I don't believe that God has called me not to confuse you. He's called me to disciple you. He's called me to teach you. And when I teach the gospel for the truth of what it is, I can understand it. And when you read the gospel, you can understand it. It's really not hard. Sometimes I don't think I can understand it, man. I've heard that only you got to be trained. Listen, you can understand the gospel because you got the Holy Spirit living in you. And say, God, your Holy Spirit is going to reveal these stories to me. Listen, I don't even have to have the Holy Spirit. When I read the gospel, what Jesus said, when I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he makes it so easy. Even a caveman can understand it. That's what Jesus taught us. He was so practical. Don't you love it that our God was practical? He didn't come to impress us, but he came to save us. The third thing that Jesus taught, he taught graphically. What I mean by that is he was very graphic in the way he taught, and he was not boring. Jesus, one thing Jesus was not when he taught, he was never boring. I mean, he taught in so many different ways and taught in so many different stories. He painted so many pictures, and he told so many stories when he taught. Why is that? Because let me give you a little hint. Back long before science ever had a way of doing autopsies and really understanding the human brain, now they teach teachers. Teachers, you can come to me in my defense right here and let me know if I'm telling you right. They now teach you as a teacher in your training that the greatest way that people learn is through illustrations, through stories, and through painting people pictures, right? We remember those. You may not remember anything I speak about, but you'll remember me walking around with the umbrella, won't you? You'll remember me sleeping in the bed up here preaching from my bed. You remember things that happen when we do things that paint a picture for us. And God was so good about painting the picture. I want you to just close your eyes a second. As you close your eyes, I want you just to imagine yourself out in the forest, cutting down a big, tall tree, and timber crashes to the ground. Now, I want you to see in your mind, I want you to see you taking a giant chainsaw and just going through and quickly taking away all the branches off that tree. There's nothing left but a big, long log. Now, I want you to imagine yourself with great strength picking that log up and jamming it right in your eye. Now, look at me. Jesus said that for us to go around looking for the speck in somebody else's eye, when we're walking around with this giant log in our own eye, I can understand that, can't you? I'll never forget that. You know what? I need to quit worrying about your problems and deal with myself. I need to quit trying to tell you how to change, and maybe I need to work on myself changing. I can understand that lesson. That's not a hard lesson to understand. He painted a beautiful picture. I get the point. Log in my eye, speck in their eye. Take care of my log. I understand that. I got a lot bigger problems to worry about than somebody else's problems. I need to work on the things that God wants me to work on. See, he was such a great storyteller. He told stories. He painted pictures for us. He talked about the sparrow. He talked about the sparrow. How many think sparrows are great? Anyone here likes sparrows? No, we don't. Everyone knows they don't name any football teams after the sparrows. It's Eagles and Ravens. Cardinals are even pretty, you know, but you know, the sparrow, it's a low totem when it really comes to birds. The sparrow was just kind of worthless out there, man. And that's kind of the viewpoint people had of the sparrow. It's just kind of a worthless bird out there. And Jesus said, you know what? That even when a sparrow dies, the Father knows about it. How much more does he really care about you and I if he knows when the sparrow dies and he knows and takes notice? How much more does he take notice of our life? I can relate to that. You can relate to that. I can drive down the road and I can see a dead sparrow and go, you know what? God knew about that. How much more does he care for my life? See, it helps me relate. I can sing a song like this that says, his eye is on the sparrow. And it makes sense to me because of the way Jesus taught me.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows fall? Why should my heart feel me.
I can relate to that story. I can sing that song in my heart today, knowing that our Savior taught it in a way that we could really comprehend His love for us, His watching eye for us. Don't you love it that our Savior loved us enough to relate to us, to relate to the culture? Listen, He taught according to His culture. If He was teaching today, the truths would be the same, but the stories would be a little bit different. He's not going to teach about jet airplanes when there was no jet airplanes at that time, even though He understood about jet airplanes long before we ever thought about it. He knows how it works, and He knows how physics work, and He knows how it works. But He didn't teach about jet airplanes to people who didn't understand it. He talked about lamps and lights, coins and pearls and sheep. He taught about things that people could understand. Let me close with one story. I believe if Jesus was here telling this story today, this is probably how it would look. Let me paraphrase what a story out of the Bible simply is this. There's a man traveling through Joppa one day on a scenic route, traveling on vacation. He thought he'd take a historic Route 66 and see the whole historic sites. And he broke down just outside of Joplin. And so as he broke down, he put out a flag saying he needed help. And a group of cars pulled over. He thought to help him, but instead of helping him, they robbed him. They beat him up very severely, took all of his money, left him laying by the side of the road. And it says shortly after that, a person drove by. Maybe he was the Archbishop of Missouri, and said, that man needs help, and I've got to get to my conference. I've got people waiting on me to teach, and I don't have time to stop today. God, maybe You'll send somebody their way. Maybe there was a great pastor from a great church in Joplin. Maybe he talked too fast and had a crazy church. I don't know who that guy would be. Anyway. And that guy passed by and he said, oh, that person needs help, but you know what? I've got a life group leaders meeting. I've got to get there because I've got to teach them about serving others and about helping others. So I don't have time to stop. I've got to go to that meeting and help train those people on how to serve, to help those who are hurting. Then a single mom who's getting off her second job of the day, who's got to run home because she's the only parent in the house, who's got to do laundry, cook supper, clean the house, get homework done, passes by this man and is moved with compassion, pulls over. She takes him to the first aid and gets his bandages around him, gets him nursed back to where he's getting the medicine he needs. She loads him up in his car and takes him to Residence Inn, pulls out her credit card, which she doesn't have the money for, but says, you know what? I'm going to sign this anyway. And whatever this man needs, I'll take care of it. Let him stay here until he gets better. Jesus said, which one of these people showed compassion? I get that. I understand. That's the way Jesus taught. It wasn't difficult. This is why we'll teach into our culture. Even though methods of teaching may change, the truth of the gospel stays the same. We may change up the way, and how we teach now may not be relevant. It won't be relevant in the future. We'll have to continue to progress with the culture and present the gospel in a way that progresses. The gospel is the same yesterday, today, and how long? Forever. Isn't it awesome? And the greatest teacher we can learn from is Jesus Christ. Don't you love it that our Savior was not only a carpenter, not only was He a good shepherd, but He was the greatest teacher to ever live. And He wants to teach me. He wants to reveal Himself to me in a way that I can understand and comprehend. That's our Savior. I'm going to invite you just to bow your heads for a few moments. With every head bowed and nobody looking around at all today, I want to ask you this question. Say, Pastor, I'm here today and I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And today, I want to accept Jesus Christ. Today, I want to say the salvation prayer. I will not embarrass you at all, and nobody's looking around but me. You will not be embarrassed one bit, but I want to give you a chance to make that decision today. Say, Pastor, I'm ready to accept Jesus today. Can you just raise your hand where I can see it? Let me see it. Hi, thank you. Anybody else today? You want to join? Say, I'm ready today. Raise it high. Thank you. Anybody else today? Say, I'm ready, Pastor. Today's my day. I want to join these people today. One more time. If you haven't raised it, raise it right now and say, I'm ready. Thank you. We're going to say this prayer, especially those who raise your hands. And as Christians, we're going to say it out loud with you. Repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you everything I am. All of my hurt, all of my pain, all of my sins, all of my dreams, I give to you today. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I will live for you. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it from your heart, we say welcome to the family of God. Amen. Before you leave today, stop by our information booth in the back. If you raise your hand today and pray that prayer, we got a free Bible. Some other information tells you what you need to do next on your new journey. If you don't have a church home, you get plugged into people around you who will support you in your new decision to follow after Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite the rest of us. Let's all stand today. We're going to close out with this song that says, Because of Who You Are. How many know He's our carpenter who relates to us? He's the good shepherd. He's the great teacher. I mean, we're learning so much about the facet of who Jesus is. So many multi-faced facets and faces to us as we learn, discover who our Savior is. Let's close with singing a song to Him today.
Lord, you reign in victory.
Come on, raise your hands. Father, we lift our hands to you today, Father, thanking you, Lord. As we worship you for who you are, God, you are so much more than our mind can even comprehend at times, Father. We're thankful today, Father, as you're teaching us that you relate to us, that you care for us, that you sympathize with us. Lord, that you have been tempted as we have been tempted, that you have worked like we've worked. You've suffered loss and pain and emotional distress like we do. God, you understand us. And Father, we're learning as you're leading us as sheep who are following your voice. And God, we're learning that you're the greatest teacher that ever walked the face of the earth. And you didn't come just to redeem us, but God, you came, Father, to teach us in a way that we can understand and to teach us the truth of the Father. And Father, we love you today and we thank you. So with our hands raised one more time, Father, we thank you, Lord, and we give you praise. We surrender our life to you, the great teacher. We pray that you would teach us, changing us of who we are, that we have a greater revelation of who you are as you teach us what the Father is saying. Well, we're committed to learning more about you. We're committed to growing closer to you. We're committed, Father, to understanding Christ, the great teacher. And we bless your name together. If you say amen, put your hands together and give God praise. Today, before you leave, remember we got live groups going on tonight. Sign up for the classes heading out back there as well. If you need a CD on baptism, pick it up before you leave today. God bless you.